What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Ant.
Welcome back, man. We're back from Instagram Live. We're back to our normal recording world. I mean, this feels right. This feels comfortable. Feels homey. You know, I feel like I've kind of, you know, really embraced doing the little intro now that, you know, you no longer will do. Just trying to carry my weight here on Clocks Run.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. I mean, this, our cameras are turned sideways. We love that. You know, that's perfect. You killed the intro. I do want to give you your flowers on that. Hey, so,
well, roses are red, violets are blue. Ants giving flowers, and you can too.
Hey, man, let me ask you a question. Are dandelions flowers or weeds?
Weeds, bro.
Okay, well, you might want to look that up.
Why wouldn't they be flowers? Would they be flowers?
I don't know. Just look it up. I heard they're part of the sunflower family. It's just a rumor I heard.
Well, it's a weed, so.
Okay.
Pretty sure you don't spray weed killer on sunflowers.
Okay. Hey, man, you know, AI had some fun with your image over the last couple days. Did you notice any of that?
You're really doing your best to get me canceled. I'm really determined. You're just trying to get me canceled. I mean, that's some next level stuff, man. Like, you changed my ethnicity.
No. Hold on. Back up. I did not do anything.
Hey, you posted it, which means you agreed to it. So, henceforth, you did that.
Okay. Well, speaking of getting canceled, let's bring our boy Dean on real quick for his what does he do? I don't know what he does.
Man, bring my boy Dion for our double D doozy. I'm about to start calling it Dean's doozy since Declan doesn't ever want to get back on here.
I know. Yeah. What's up with Declan, guys? Like,
it's
gotta
simple.
Have some stories.
Look, he's a 16-year-old who's getting ready to take over the world. All right, when that kid's 35, he's gonna be the youngest president ever. You know, I just – he's got some great stories, but it's just tough to nail him down. So, you know, we're happy we have you, fortunately, Dean. Fill the double newsy role.
You got great lighting. We can see you. You got the Boston hat on. The Celtics are looking good.
They are.
He's wearing a Bruins hat, not a Celtics. That's not the right sport. So.
Oh, whatever, bro. Whatever, okay, man.
I mean, sure,
Boston,
world.
You know.
And he's got a flower, not a weed, in the background.
Yeah. Dandelions are weeds, by the way. I looked it up while I was waiting. It is a weed.
Okay, I need a source. I need the source. You got to send me the link because
it's simple. It's
Google. It's called Google.
My bad. Okay, well, go ahead, Island Boy. Give us your doozy. It probably sucks this week, but go ahead, man.
Oh, wow. Is it because I called Dandelion a weed? Is that because I called Dandelion a weed? Is that where we're going? Or is that because you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan? Anyway, I feel sorry for you.
Sweet. So, what are you talking about? Sweet, baby, sweet.
So, this week – this is my last one for a bit. So, it was last year.
Did he just quit?
Wait, hold on. What do you mean this is your last one for a bit?
Well, because I'm running out of them. Like, I gotta spread them out, right? Like, I gotta spread them out so that I can spread the love of double D's doozies.
All right. Well, this is where you can start making up stories. Anyways, keep going.
All right. So, this was 2 years ago in our summer league. It was 5-on-5 contact game. It was Spartans versus Irene. I was actually reffing the game on the other side, but I'll come back to why I had to get involved in this game. So it was when I was scheduling it for the refs, I was like, this game was supposed to be a smooth flowing. Like, there was no bad blood between the teams, or at least I didn't think so. And then it came down to a play where there was a guy on offense. He was blocking, and one of the rushers that was rushing, he was blocking him. And he just kept blocking him and riding him and holding him and holding him. And eventually threw him all the way to the ground, but it had moved to the sideline, right? So he blocked him into the sideline, blocked him into the ground, obviously flags come fly from the refs for holding. And then I just see bench from the other side, Irene's bench, just clear and run straight up the field. And one guy actually launches and punches a guy in the face. And then the other guy gets up and starts punching him back. And then people come from the stands into the field to try and get involved in it. People on the sideline were trying to get involved. And I'm reffing on the other field. I have to stop my game, as I am the head of officials. I have to stop my game on that side because it had actually come all the way into the sideline. And I said, no, I need to handle this. I'm putting this game on pause. I got to go deal with this because this is a serious situation. So I got over there and I get the crew for the game to get once we start separating. And you know me, I don't run from conflict. So I go right into the middle. I'm pulling people off. I'm pulling people back. I'm like, you stay there. You go to your sideline. Both teams to your sideline now and cool down. And then I get the crew together. We start talking and it ended up with 3 ejections for the altercation. The guy with the excessive blocking was thrown because he'd thrown the guy down. He was the instigator. He threw the guy down to the ground, so he was gone. The guy that threw a punch was gone. And then the guy that kicked someone in the head was gone as well. So it was those 3. And it just it took about 25-30 minutes to sort out. It was insane. And then the suspensions ended up getting handed down. We had the biggest suspension we were actually getting out in a while. The one who threw the punch landed the punch, and the one who kicked somebody got 3 game suspension and a $150 fine each. And then the one that was did the initial blocking, he got a 1 game suspension and a $75 fine. So it was intense. And you know, I've never had to leave a game I was reffing to go over and deal with the conflict. But, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, that is a doozy. Jacob, questions, comments?
Yeah, oh, I got plenty. So first of all, so the Spartans were playing Iran?
No, Irene, like rain, like R-E-I-G-N, like rain, like you're reigning champion. Yeah, Irene.
I reign.
Yes.
Like I.
like the letter I. Uh-huh. Reign. Yeah.
They don't have words like that in North Carolina, man.
We don't have words anywhere in the world like that, but okay.
Reign?
Like you don't have reigning champions? So what do you call it? Defending champions?
We have reigning champions. We don't have I-reigning champions. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So Spartans were playing Iran. There was a nuclear missile crisis. All right, so 3 players. It took 25 minutes to sort 3 players?
No, with pulling people off and clearing sidelines and getting spectators back into off the field and clearing a whole bunch of shit and then just discussing with the crew on what they saw, right? So,
you got 25 minutes behind from that?
Yeah, but it was the last game of the day, so on either side. So it didn't really run. Hey, we never run on time, dude. Like, honestly, like I'm trying to get that on, but it's like we run on island time, bro. We run on island time. It always bugs me that an island like this that runs, 1, 2, 3 games a night, right, cannot be on time, and a tournament that runs with 1,200 teams runs on time. Like, I don't get it, but I just got to relax and sit back and just not think about it, because if I do, it drives me insane.
It was actually 1,387, but
yeah, keep count. Come on.
Okay, thanks, Jacob.
Oh, the Guinness Book of World Records.
I mean, there is a world record for it, but
there's an actual count.
I had to fill out paperwork. So, all right. So, next question. So, how? I really don't have another question. You pretty much covered all the bases.
Yeah,
I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, well, I guess this is a farewell because you put in your notice. You're quitting. You're not, you know, I don't know
how to do this. We're going to revisit this. We're going to revisit this.
Okay.
I've got about 2 more stories left, but I've got a feeling some things will come up in the next couple of weeks because we are nearing the playoffs And every year the playoffs get heated. Regardless, like this is the last week of regular season, it gets heated because teams are fighting for the playoff spots that they want. And going into the playoffs, it's going to get wild and it's going to get reckless.
Plus, so, you haven't told a single USA flag doozy story. So
exactly.
So you have plenty. You just got to use that little noodle of yours and figure it out.
I have so many. That's the thing. Like, figuring it out is hard.
Man, you were never in first grade. You never heard the term noodle talking about your brain?
Nope.
Wow.
Not at all. Wow. Cool. All right, Dean. Well, we're going to say goodbye to you.
See you later, Dean.
Later, guys. Have a good one. Man. Take care.
You too.
All right. I'm glad that you. I don't know. I'm glad that he brought up a story about contact because our next guest. Let's just say that he is part of a team that has been involved in some interesting games in Vegas and other parts of the country. So. Without further ado, let's bring him on. What up, Jose?
What's going on, fellas? Thank you for having me.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Yes, sir. Oh, man, you're calm. This is completely different.
Locked in. I'm ready. It took me a little bit. I prepared myself for like 30 minutes, but I'm good to go.
There we go. Hey, man, so anytime we have a new guest on, we just want to give you the chance to kind of share your story of what got you into flag football and you know, what your team has done and what brought you guys here today. And so the floor is yours, man.
So I'm from Philly. We located South Philly. Honestly, I used to play in a league called Tim Mateo. That was probably like an 18U. I got into that. I'm a baseball player, though. That's what a lot of people don't know. I play baseball. I actually didn't play football. I just started getting into it. I'd say probably like 21, 22. Didn't really take it serious, you know, but then I started, you know, realizing the opportunity in here. And then, you know, I just started putting the work in and actually, you know, being serious about it. But team-wise, man, we still building, you know. We still a young team, a young group, you know, getting together, traveling more. This is like our second year actually traveling. So, still building.
Yeah, cool. So y'all are SP Savages, right? And first experience, I mean, what made you guys decide to go out to Vegas? Is like, because that seemed like your first big travel tournament, right, last year?
Yeah, we actually went out to Vegas last year. We made it to the championship six-man pro. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually do contact, but who wouldn't want to go to Vegas? No, Vegas is Vegas. but everything out there is just amazing. You know, the scenery, the football field, the atmosphere, everything is just, you know, that's where you want to be. You know, so that's definitely our number one. We definitely trying to I think we got Vegas coming up August. We also got Boston coming up. We'll be out there for those two also.
Yeah, and how do you feel the competition and even the style of play in contact is from the East Coast to the West Coast?
Definitely some competition in the West Coast. It's definitely some competition. You got a bunch of great teams, man. The team we just lost to, the Goonies. I think they're considered the Goonies. Older team, but you could tell breakdown for breakdown, they know exactly how to play the game. You know, the communication is amazing. Then you got a new dynasty, you know, amazing team also. And it's great competition, man. It's definitely some good competition in the East also, but the West got some boys.
So where are you guys looking at playing next? What's on the calendar?
So we got a local tournament coming up for, it's like a GVOC. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. GVOC, May 10th. Actually, we got a Camden League this Saturday. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Saturday, I'll be there playing five-man non-contact, five-man air it out also. And then, like I said, probably Boston. We definitely want to do Boston. I've never been out Boston. I want to see, you know, what the competition is like with the atmosphere. And then Vegas again. And then, of course, Nationals probably.
I got you. We got to get you to ECN. That's just down the road for you guys.
Hey, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. There you go.
So you said non-contact you're playing on Saturday. Is that – are you starting to get into non-contact a little bit more, or you've been playing that for a while?
I've been playing non-contact, I'd say, for probably like a year now. You know, I'm getting the fundamentals of everything, you know. Not everything is a deep ball. It's an actual breakdown and, you know, the little small things. So I'm getting used to that. I'm getting, like, very familiar with it. Yeah, but I've been playing for like a year. But now I'm like actually really getting into it now. So, yeah.
What as a team, what changes did you guys make from Vegas last year to the Vegas, you know, that we just had a couple of weeks ago?
So it's actually funny. Vegas, we only went out there with seven guys. A lot of our guys wasn't able to make it, you know, due to certain situations. But we actually had a squad. You know, we had a full team. Couple people was out of positions, but you know, we used to it. So yeah, that's really it. Just the amount of heads, you know, when you're in Vegas, that heat is different. That's real different out there. And
it's brutal.
You definitely gotta be hydrated. But yeah, that matters, you know, having a couple extra heads, you know, that matters a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as like national rules compared to what you're used to playing, do you guys do sixes contact locally at all, or not really?
No, it's actually a whole different game. Like once we went to our first trip was Vegas. Once we went to Vegas, that was a whole different thing. We never played six man. You know, it was the first time, and we decided to do pro. You know, actually, which we did a good job at it, but like I said, it's a whole different thing. We usually play – the six-man that we play is like a non-contact. You know, one rusher and six guys on the field, obviously. But it's a whole different thing. So we just had to adjust, you know. Took time, took practice. I got with one of my league owners, you know, started doing a couple of little six-men just so we could get used to it. You know, so it was just something that we had to adjust to. We were so used to, like, seven man, and then we'll play five man down in the east. So it was definitely different.
Yeah, and seven man out there is where like their live fumbles and stiff arms like that.
Mm-hmm. It's a different game over here. Yeah, it's more of a, when they say contact, it's contact. It is definitely contact. Live fumbles, you know, sidelines are live. You know, you're able to get hit on the sideline and it goes down here in the East Coast.
Yeah. So how did you adjust, you know, from that where you guys went out to Vegas and you guys didn't really even – you hadn't played sixes. Maybe you had a little fives experience. You had to turn that off. You can't do stiff arms. You can't be hitting. I mean, the reality of it is that championship game basically got squandered because of a fight. And then New Dynasty took over last year. So how did you, you know, how did you guys make that adjustment into five contact, into six contact?
Hey, man, we just got to, you know, we just got to understand the game. I mean, the rules are the rules. We go over the rules as a team. We break it down. We understand what the assignment is. And it's just, I mean, it's not that hard to adjust to, you know. It's just certain things we can't do. And we just got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Even then, like that game, like I don't think the because it really wasn't even a fight in that game, you know, at the beginning. It was, you know, everybody got kind of excited. Everybody kind of came on the field for a second, but there was nothing ever happened. It was nipped in the bud really quick, I think.
You talking about last year?
Last year, yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it was, I wouldn't say no fight. It was a little, you know, a little altercation. Both, right. You know, two great teams just being competitive. I feel like that's all it really was. You know, we got much love for them guys over there. They know who we are. We know who they are. You know, it's nothing but love and respect when we hit the field. But once we hit the field, is them dogs coming out. That's what it really is. That's all it is.
Yep, definitely.
No, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, definitely having more guys. I think you guys were pretty tired just seeing that last year. You guys had I think you guys made it either into the championship or semis in five contact. So two formats with only 7-8 guys, like that's, you know, y'all are going to be tired in that situation. But I want to turn to Tampa, and you know that's the big deal. That's y'all really trying to make a name for yourselves. You brought out a lot of bodies, and it just seemed like the chemistry wasn't working the same. So how do you find that middle ground where you don't have as many people, but you got enough to be able to push through those extra games?
Yeah, man. So I would say Tampa was a breakdown for us. Tampa, we actually brought a couple new guys in, you know, so when you get out on a big stage like that, chemistry got to be 1,000%. It has to be. You're not doing anything if you guys don't have no chemistry. So a lot of, you know, miscommunication, a lot of easy plays just happened. That's where we broke down at. Miscommunication, guys not knowing where their guys was going to be. That's what it really was. We had a great first day. I think we won the first game like 42-0. Then we won the second game like 50-something to 6. And then it was like when it was time to, you know, actually play against the good teams, that's where we broke down. Everybody, you know, it was just too much panicking going on. You just got, you know, just be calm. When situations get tough, just be calm. You know, that's what I try to preach, try to keep my guys together, you know, as one. And I feel like we just broke down when realistically at that time we was only down 12-6. You know, but once you got your head down at halftime and the whole time is still a whole nother half, things ain't going to work out. So, you know, but we definitely lost. I felt like, you know, I felt like we could have been a better team, you know. I feel like the competition out there was great, but I don't know. I liked our guys. I liked the group we had. We just didn't come together as one. But, you know, every loss is a lesson. So that's how I take it, you know. So we just learned off of that, built off of that. And after that, we went on a good run, you know, out here in the East Coast and actually played some great football.
Yeah, see, I've been following along. It seems like y'all have, you know, won a couple of local tournaments and this or that. As far as, you know, we are talking from an official's perspective, and we try to bring in the rules and everything like that. So as far as the national rules go, either fives or sixes, is there a rule that just drives you crazy that you don't understand that it is the way it is, or that you change yourself?
Oh, five and sixes? Probably the stiff arm. I think the stiff arm is a big thing. You know, somebody close to you, get off of me. You know, I feel like that's a big boost. But, nah, man, everything, you know, it's kind of balanced out. Everything is the same here. Well, I wouldn't say everything, but, you know, it's more contact down here than it is. You know, it's just a little adjustment. I feel like not that much off, though, I want to say.
Yeah. Jacob, have you ever thought in Camel City to bring the stiff arm into your league?
No, man. I've seen these dudes, so locally in North Carolina, they way back, they had it was a sevens league. It was how they got started. It was the league that I came up playing in. It was right before I started playing. They did sevens with live fumbles, stiff arms, all that. And it just, you know, it got way more physical than it needed to. You know, I always think fives contact is a very physical format. Sixes too. But I don't think you need to add to any of it like that. I mean, it's tough. I get it. And from a football, from a tackle background, I absolutely understand the thought of having a stiff arm to be able to get some separation, but just part of it.
Yeah. So, Jose, let me ask you this, because the last, this past weekend in two different parts of the country, there were tournaments, both of them were cash tournaments, and in both tournaments, there were fights that broke out. One in Colorado actually ended up, they had to cancel the tournament. They weren't even able to have a championship because the fight was just too much. From your experience, or, you know, just what you're seeing, do you think that, you know, when fights breaking out in flag football, you know, what damage is that doing to the game? And how do you as a, you know, a player, you know, running a team? How do you control your guys so that that doesn't continue?
Oh, yeah, man, it destroys the game a lot, you know, because a lot of us, you know, really actually love it. You know, I know a lot of people do it probably for a hobby, but like a person like me, I actually love the game. You know, I love everything about it. I love the hustle, the grind. I preach it all the time to my guys, and you know, me and my guys are on the same page. So I feel like that's the biggest thing, being a vocal leader. Once you're a vocal leader and you know, not so much control your guys, but the guys have much respect for you. Once you preach their respect, and I feel like that right there is just a major thing, because you know, it does get intense. It's football. It's a contact game. It's an emotional game, you know. But it does damage the game, man. It does. You know, we go out there to enjoy our time. You know, just have fun. You know, something to do to keep us away from the real life. You know, a lot of people actually go through things in real life, and for me, that's like, you know, that's a getaway. So, you know, I just take advantage of my opportunities when I get away like this. I mean, so it's big. It's big. I definitely don't like seeing that. It destroys, not just that, it's families out there. You don't want, you know, you just never know what somebody's thinking in the head. A little fight breaks out. Now, you know, somebody get hands put on them. Now they feel like they got to go, you know, because I'm from Philly. I've witnessed it. You know, it's happened before. So it's like, you know, you never want to do that. Plus, I bring my own son to the game, so I don't want to, you know. No, so I definitely preach that you just got to control your emotions when you play football. Like, it's going to get physical. It's going to get tough. Again, it's going to get emotional. But play football. That's what we're here for. You know, mm-hmm. All the extra stuff, that's saved for another time. Or just don't even do it. But football is what we're here for.
Could not agree more.
Yeah, for sure. So, that being said, man, because you're from Philly, you know, we have an important question we got to ask you. Really, it's Jacob more than anybody needs to ask you. So, Jacob, go ahead. I know what you got to ask.
All right. So, tell me, number one, what would you put on your Philly cheesesteak when you go to order? You're going to your favorite spot. You know, you just, hey, my man, make it the way I want it. This is exactly what I want. Go.
Hey man, I'm a basic guy. I'm a I'm a regular guy. Light ketchup, light mayo, salt, pepper, maybe fried onions. Depends on the day. You know, okay. A bag of Doritos and a Mountain Dew, and call it a day.
So let me ask the next question: what kind of cheese do you use when you order your set Philly?
Oh, American cheese.
American cheese. So you wouldn't put American cream cheese?
No.
No,
that's crazy.
Right. So, I mean, I agree, it is, but not that's everybody, crazy. Not every 2 out of 3 Americans feel that it's crazy. 1 out of 3 on this call who seems like it's the next best thing.
Yeah. All right, but let me ask you this. So you just said American, which do you like any other cheeses on your cheesesteak, or it's only American for you?
No, I've tried cheddar cheese. Like I've been to, you know, Geno's, and I've been right across the street from Geno's. They got another spot, I forget the name, but they got good cheddar cheese. So, you know, I'm not that picky. I'll try some, but yeah. I've been around and I prefer them too. That's it.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, so final question, man, for you before we let you go. Everybody's talking about it on the internet. I just want to hear your thoughts, man. You get 100 of your boys. Can y'all take on a gorilla?
No.
Thank you.
That is not going to work, man. See, it's crazy because I was talking about it earlier with a couple of my workers, and like, how are you actually going to hurt the gorilla? Like, if you punching on the gorilla, like, and then like they saying on Instagram, you got to have 100 committed people. That's probably your best chance. And there's not going to be 100 like 100 people dedicated to stop this gorilla. No, once the gorilla get hands on one person, everybody step back. Nobody want to be there no more. You just gotta be realistic. Nobody's gonna move. No, not at all. No.
No, for not sure.
Completely agree.
That's a funny question. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right, Jose. Well, we'll be out there in Philly on Saturday, so we'll see you out there, man. And we appreciate you coming on the show last minute, man. Definitely good to hear from you, and we're excited to see where your team goes from here.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. It's a blessing.
Appreciate you, man.
Sure.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Oh, man, I feel like one day I'm going to find somebody. I don't know where, but there's going to be somebody that I'm going to find that's going to be like, oh, yeah, I put cream cheese on, and I love it, and I've had it since the 80s. And
and you know where they are? They're sitting in, like, some cabin, like, in the woods in, like, the most northern corner of Maine, like, away from everybody. They're not near anybody, and they're going to have a house right beside them ready for you.
Hey, man, but you know what? If I was living in a house in Maine, our next guest is the guy that I'd want to be my neighbor. So let me add him real quick. What up, Tim?
Oh, hey, look at what there. Up, what's going on?
Oh, man.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm ready.
Hey. Hey, man, so you're probably driving in L.A. traffic. I know it's like 6 o'clock right now.
Oh, no, I'm actually parked. I'm just sitting in the car. Took a break from moving, yeah, so we got time.
He's taking a page from your old book.
Yeah,
I know.
Half of season one was recorded from the back seat of Ant's car.
Yeah, I'm in the front seat of my new car.
Hey.
There we go.
Yeah,
man, you were putting on all those miles driving all over the place, huh?
I know, right? Now I got a 2025 to put
there. We go.
Yeah.
All right, man. So every time we have a new guest on, we just want to give you the opportunity to kind of share your origin story of flag football. What got you into the game, and what's brought you to the place you are today? So the floor is yours, man.
Okay, well, what brought me to flag football was I wasn't good enough to tackle. Yeah, right. No, man. Tackle, to me, it's just my body is extremely sore when I'm done, and flag football was easier on my body as I was getting older. So I've been playing flag football since I was about 27. And the older I got, the more injuries kicked in, and refereeing started to look real good.
And how long you been officiating now?
Man, I started with you.
Yes, sir.
I want to say maybe about 6 years now. I want to say
if that,
but it seems like longer.
Yeah,
it feels like it.
Yeah, man, and you know, Air Raid is home for you. You officiate any other leagues locally, or is it mostly Air Raid?
I do Friday Night Lights and Garden Grove with my son. So he's getting the experience. So when he's 18, he's coming to USA Flag with me, hopefully.
Hey, we got a junior official program.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he needs it. Like, no, but Friday Night Lights is cool. It's kindergarten through eighth grade, and the only problem we have out there are the coaches and the parents. Like, the players are cool. It's the coaches and parents.
Yeah, because they can't count past 10, Tim. That's why the players are cool.
I mean, no, the kids are cool. Like, they're playing there. Like, they're cool. You got parents arguing with kids. Like, we're not going to do that on this field, you know?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, like, you're arguing with a third grader.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I'm saying, man, Friday Night Lights, they got no regulation of how close the parents can be on the field. So they're right on the sideline.
Yeah, they're right there on the sideline. There's no two yards, no 2 feet or nothing. There's everybody right here.
Coolers, chairs, tents, they got it all set up right on the sideline.
Why do they have tents at nighttime?
Because it's California. The sun sets at about 7:30, so they want to be blocked from protected from the sun for about 35 minutes. Okay, in a minute.
Yeah. So, man, and then in the last couple of years, you gotten into USA Flag. You've been traveling. I see you out in Tampa, San Diego, Vegas. Where else you been? Where else have you gone?
Nashville, as far as
there we go.
The East Coast. I'm planning on going to Boston this year, hopefully.
Yep.
Again, I'll be back in San Diego, but I'm glad I started late winning the game with USA Flag Football. I should have been doing this.
Hey, it's never too late, my friend. We're just happy to have you along for the ride.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here.
That's
I said it's all Ant's credit though. He brought me out to USA Flag.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, that was fun, man. That first time in San Diego, and I just think about that, man, because I know how it is being at a local league where every single week you see the same players, some of them you used to play with, and they there's a point where players get familiar, and they think that they can use that to their advantage
and get way too comfortable.
And I know you and me, we had to deal with that in Air Raid where it was like,
man, showtime. Man, we got our reps today. No, you don't.
Every Sunday night, man, it just felt like there was something brewing, bro. And then, it was like,
I got it all. And I got the reps with my friends. Maybe not.
and on top of it, because it's LA, there's so much media. So a player is going to send Manny 7 different angles, pictures, slow motion. Yeah. They put a soundtrack to it, everything.
And I tell them all, I don't have the luxury of looking at it in slow motion when I make my call. I make my call and I stand on it. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right. But after I look at the video, I still stand on my call because we can't slow it down in game time. So, and there's no instant replay. So it is what it is. You want better, get boxed.
Yeah, and y'all started to y'all got the women's league now, and that's USA Flag rules, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
How has that been, man? Go ahead.
Man, it's cool. I love it. I like reffing the girls' games in Air Raid opposed to the guys because you got 20-minute halves, man. That shit is too long. Too long.
For the men's game?
For the men's game, yeah. It's 20 minute half.
No, thank you.
So the game's like an hour long. One game is 1 hour long.
No, thank you.
Yeah, 20. Bro, you didn't even tell him. 20 minute halves with 2 minute stop clock at the end.
Yep.
That's seven man rules.
It's basically 7-man with 6 players.
Yeah, they get it. They get 2 timeouts per half.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, and I could tell Manny, he's given the same amount of attention to the women's game as he is the men's. He's got all the media going. So, and I'm sure, man, you're basically the head ref over there, right?
I don't know. Yep. I'm the longest tenured ref. I'm the longest tenured ref there.
You better be the head ref.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you go from the weekly league into USA Flag. So, for example, we had Vegas a couple weeks ago. I think you spent a lot of time in the contact field. What stuck out to you about your time in Vegas this past go around?
The heat. No, it was actually this time around. Vegas was actually pretty fucking fun. Like, it was pretty fun dealing with trying to train a new ref. He got it towards the end. But, it's a challenge. I like the challenge of it. But Vegas was fun. I only had one fight on my field.
Oh, it was on your field?
Yeah, he had the fight.
I didn't have the fight. That fight was on, I guess, referee on somebody else's field.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I got to the point where I was telling, look, I will cancel this whole game if one more incident pop off. And they go, all right, ref, we're good. I can't be on that rape whistle like that, man.
Yeah. So that rape whistle.
Hey, man, Whistleman Tim's come a long way. I just remember in San Diego 2 years ago, Tim was going to take over the world and stop a 40-person brawl.
With one hand. With one hand and a whistle.
Like this.
That's right.
Like, yo, y'all do that shit, I'm calling Jacob, we're done.
Yeah, never, not no more.
So yeah, I think every one of us has had our moment, man, where it's like we realize, oh, okay, nope, we don't need to be that involved in this situation. Oh,
yeah, no. Like, bro, if you're not going to do nothing, no, they'll get tired sooner or later.
Nope, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. I'm just writing down numbers who's getting kicked out. I'm just taking names and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy, man. All I could do was write 19, 7, 6, 5, threw 3 punches, 4 punches, 8 punches. Man, it was crazy.
Tim kept the best stats for me.
On my hand.
he had swing to hit ratios for me and everything.
Man. Yeah. Hey, dude was playing Babaloo on his head, man. He was playing the congos on his dude's face. Like, he was ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm like, damn. So I blew my whistle on beat. I was well on beat with him. As I was writing his number down. What did he say?
Oh, man,
I'm a Christian. I go to church. I don't normally do this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he did. And then he tried to get Oh, man, there was so much more with that. You guys don't know. It was hilarious.
I'm a Christian. I don't act like this. Well, you just
really
started a riot, bro. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Not this Sunday.
But you don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we were going to give him a penalty on the play, but you already you got him swinging. So that.
Yep. That was funny. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, let him throw the penalty flag.
And he said, what? No, he said, we're going to throw a penalty flag. And what is that going to do? That's 15 yards. I don't think they want to give up another 15 yards in this short of a field. They'll get it together. But you didn't give them a chance to see.
No, you enforced the riot act.
Yeah. I don't normally do this. Honest. This is my first time.
This is my first.
I mean, leading the charge. Get him.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's good, man. I needed to hear that perspective. But, hey, man, just to wrap up with you, man, I know you're busy. You got a lot going on tonight. But, man, I do want to just – I want to give you a lot of credit, man, because when I first got out to L.A. and I was working at Air Raid – you know, you and me were, you know, hand in hand. We were working the field together, you know, every single week. And something stuck out to me, man, which I respected a lot from you seeing. There was a situation 1 week that popped off where it wasn't, you know, two dudes fighting or nothing like that. It was a situation where a young man, it was his first time playing in the league, and there was some gang conversation going on. And bro, right away you heard the words, you heard what was being said, and you shut it down. But then after the game, man, you went up to that young man and you had a conversation.
And
you spoke into, you know, you spoke into his life, man.
And he's still there. He's still here. Like, that's deep. Cause, like, for real, because you never know, man. Like, you say the wrong thing out here, that's it. So you got to be careful of that situation, you know. And I didn't make it to be 48 all by accident. So I grew up out here. Yeah,
bring a walker actually, next time I see Tim in the field.
I'll be in Alabama on Friday. This Friday, my uncle passed away on Easter Sunday, so we're going to put him send him to heaven on this Saturday coming up.
Yeah.
So I'll be on you guys' side of town for a minute.
You think you come to our side of the world, and we're both tuck and tail running. We're going to Philly.
Oh, and just to answer that question, I'll take on the gorilla. Just me and mine.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, I sucked the shit out of him, and it's over.
The odds are probably better in Tim's favor than most. I'm taking Tim in the fight.
Hey,
I'm done with it. I'm going to make some gorilla ribs with cream cheese. How about that? Yeah, we're going to have a gorilla cheese steak sandwich with cream cheese.
There you go, man.
I know, man. See, Jacob, here's the thing, bro. Tim has my back, bro. So I know for a fact, if I was like, look, man, this is where I'm at, this is most important, he'd be like, yeah, cream cheese for life.
Dude, he's gonna sell it like he's trying to sell water to an Eskimo. He's gonna make it.
Hey, you see what we did with Subway?
We survived.
Yeah. For real. I like hot fries with cream cheese. You know, like the Flamin' Hot Cheetos? Mm-hmm. Try that with cream cheese.
I'm saying, bro, there's a lot of stuff you can do with cream cheese. It tastes good. So.
I don't think so, but okay.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it to get home. I'm waiting on it to get home so I can try the other things to do with cream cheese.
Hey, yo.
Oh, man.
All right, man. All right, well, until the next time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You just full.
I don't know, man.
Tonight. Tim, the tool man, Taylor Walker.
Hey, I just go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say, Tim, man, Tim's such a cool guy, and from the first time he came and worked with us up until now, like he has grown so much. Like if there's a range to look at officials like improvement wise and stuff, like everything about Tim has gotten better. You know, like he's somebody I can turn loose on the field and say, hey man, go handle this. This is a problem field for me right now. I need somebody to fix this for me. And he's got it. And he'll correct it and get the ship going the right way and just keep things moving. And you know, he's always a blast to have with us and always a good time. I think the world of Tim. So
yeah, man, and I think that's you know, it says something, man. 48 years old, and you know, he's got that life experience. He was in the military. He's got a lot of things that he brings to the table, where he's mature enough to know, hey, you know, yeah, we can go have fun in Vegas. We can, you know, go do this in San Diego. But when it comes down to the field, he studies the rules.
Yep.
He pays attention. He listens. He's teachable. You know, that all that stuff's real important, and it goes a long way because, you know, I don't want to completely say this entire generation that's coming up, but this entire generation that's coming up, they're not very teachable, and it's really hard to be able to speak to, you know, someone that's maybe in their, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what's important. Make sure you study the rule book, this and that. Where, you know, Tim walking up, I, you know, like I said, I remember that, you know, that first San Diego that he came out for a USA flag tourney. He had been studying the rules all week. He had been texting me about it. He had been, okay, what do we do in this situation? What does this look like? Because he did, air raid is very different. It's a slower game. There's weird contact rules, you know, it's not comparable. And so to make that transition, the only thing that he really had to get over was the fact that, like, hey, you can't necessarily talk to the guys that you, you know, from Florida the way you talk to the guys from LA.
right. Your terminology is going to be, you know, I think that's something that we, you know, we try to preach, you know, every tournament to everybody we work with is, you know, professionalism has got to be, you know, across the board, because, you know, you could say something to somebody and they take it the wrong way. And something as little as, I don't have a great example right now, but little things can get blown way out of proportion. And, you know, there's times where I have to walk things back and make people realize that things aren't necessarily the way they're portrayed, and maybe someone didn't mean something the way they said it. And if you ever listen to people, you know, like when people talk about post tournaments and stuff, they say, oh, this ref said, I don't care. I didn't care. You know, whatever, you this, this, and this, it's, again, context and things like that. So, you know, to your point, professionalism is everything, you know, and Tim's gotten really, like I said, you know, just a couple minutes ago, his improvement for everything he does is so great to see. And it's a true testament to actually caring about what you're doing and being and doing the right thing. So yeah, and that's also a testament to you for leading the way with that as well, you know, and being able to be a, you know, kind of an example for people to follow. So shake your head, man, you want, dude. Whatever.
I just do what I'm told, bro. That's all I do.
Whatever. Yeah,
oh man, and I don't know. Vegas was a good tournament, man. All across the board. I just, you know, I know we kind of had our recap already, but it's cool, man. It's cool seeing now leaving LA and getting a break from some of those players. You know, it's good to see them but they also they understand what time I'm on and so. You know, I feel like, okay, this is a perfect example. I want to bring this up a little bit. I know it's a different sport, but basketball officials, I thought that flag football officials were accessible. Basketball officials are way more accessible. Yeah. I mean, they're on the court the entire time. Mm-hmm. And, like, it doesn't matter what's going on. It just seems like there's always somebody in their ear the entire game.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I know in the past I've talked about how I'll be watching NFL games and I don't even watch the football game anymore. I'm just looking at what the officials are doing.
Yeah.
I love watching basketball. Basketball was, you know, my first sport growing up. And so watching, you know, March Madness where Duke lost or, you know, watching the NBA, I was watching the game and then I started to notice that I was just like, I want to see what the officials are doing. And it just blew me away. Not only are how accessible they are, but I feel like they give so much time to the whininess and the complaining. And I'm like, no way. Like, my unsportsmanlike flag is coming out so quick in that situation. So why do you think it's that way in basketball?
I was going to say, so number one, it's funny that – so you and I have never had a conversation about watching the games differently, right?
Okay.
When I was so I started umpiring baseball when I was 14. And I was the first thing my mentor told me was, once you start officiating any sport, you'll never watch that sport the same again. You'll always watch what the officials are doing. You'll always watch for the mechanics. You'll always watch for the fundamentals of what the officials are supposed to be doing versus what the players are doing. And it's stuck true to me. What you just said is echoes exactly what he said. I think as far as accessibility goes, it's because people let it. We live in a society where everybody believes that they're some customer or they're some part of something, and that gives them the right to talk to somebody however they please. And that's absolutely not the case. Just because you pay for something, if you don't feel satisfied with it, doesn't give you the entitlement to fire off and speak recklessly and not expect there to be some sort of retaliation to that. I think a lot of people think that they can just do whatever they want and there'll be no repercussions because, oh, hey, I'm the paying customer. You know, we grew up with, I feel like you probably did just as much as I did with the slogan that the customer's always right. And that's not the case. There's a lot of time when the customer's wrong and you've got to tactfully tell them that they're wrong. You know, as officials, you know, tact goes a long way. I was always told that tact was being able to tell somebody to go to hell and have them walking there with a smile on their face. So I think, you know, it's a difficult one. I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's actually going to get worse. You're going to see more officials be way more accessible to players or from the players. and trying to navigate that is going to be very difficult for people.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And like I brought up with Jose, I mean, just this past weekend, I saw, you know, a comment on social media that, like, the tournament that happened in Texas where they're basically saying, like, I'm witnessing the downfall of flag football in this area. And
quote, John Evans. I'll say it.
There you go. So I want to hear more about that. I want to hear why he thinks that way. But to me, what stands out is that I think that the continued tournaments that are run that are only men's tournaments and for cash prizes is what is causing the issue. And what do you got? You got some nothing. Proper?
No, that was just the Campbell City logo, because that's exactly what we do. We're a men's league that offers men's prizes. I have a different logic behind it than I think some people. There's a lot of people do that for self-gratification, but anyways, go ahead. Continue, Tom. I'm sorry.
No, so to me, that's what stands out to me where I'm like, this just seems like the egos just get – out of control too much, and that's where fights break out, and you know, organizations are getting kicked out of parks, or you know, the reputation, and ultimately what happens across the board is that then this reputation gets created on social media. Everybody's talking about the fight that happened. They're not talking about, oh hey, there was this young receiver that, you know, balled out that weekend, or you know, this or that. It loses its attraction to football. Yeah. It's more about the negative stuff. So
well, that's the day and age we live in. As things become clickbait, things become, you know, what kind of negative news carries more weight than positive news. You know,
yeah.
you'll see on like actual news, you know, they'll talk about robberies, murders, all sorts of bad stuff, and then, you know, by the time they get to the cute puppies that were saved on Highway 45, they, you know, people are clicking off and turning the channel to something different. I think a lot of it with these cash prize tournaments, they attract the best of the best, as they should. So if you're a competition driven person, and you are, you know, able to compete at that level, those are absolutely for you. I'm a firm believer that the money is the players. So, you know, while as league organizers and things like that, your time's worth stuff as well, something as well. So let me not get that twisted. However, you know, the money they put in, you know, there's a balance to it. So you should absolutely be able to offer a fair prize based on who enters, or how many teams enter, rather, not who enters. But on the flip side, people have to act accordingly with that said money. You know, it's not life-changing money. It's never, you know, there's one team that's won life-changing money. And from what I understand, it didn't go over well. Because last time I checked, that team's not together anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, that money is probably all gone at this point, right?
Oh, absolutely. I heard that. I mean, I heard some of them did some intelligent things and invested it the right way and did, but nobody missed a day of work because of it.
Yeah.
They may have missed a day of work to go play for the money, but they, you know, they still, no one turned a notice in. Nobody, you know, nobody is living off of that anymore. You know, it was divvied up the way it was supposed to be. It's a really cool concept, but at the end of the day, yeah. You're using that money for future entries, uniforms, maybe getting a house at Worlds, you know, or helping with the house, maybe paying for a team dinner, things like that. You're not going to the club and, you know, or paying your bills with it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think once people, that thought has to get through people's head, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and in Vegas, I did have a kind of a sideline conversation in between games with a veteran pro player, and And the, you know, just with the conversation that we were talking about, the fact that, and I was straight up with him, and, you know, this is something I've talked to you about, Jacob, is the fact that I don't have fun officiating men's pro games anymore, because of the whininess and the complaining. And it just doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel like it's officiating football. I'm just babysitting in a lot of ways. And, yeah, you know, and that's not fun to me. And when I, you know, was talking to this player about it, his quick response was, well, if you want to be able to advance into international, you know, officiating, make it to the Olympics down the road as an official, you need us. You need our competition. You need us pro players. You need to be in the marquee matchups, the big games. And, you know, and it's funny because that, like, right away that I was like, oh, no, I don't need you for that, number one. And, you know, and number two, that you know, for me, I'm content in what I'm doing because, you know, in a lot of ways, I've talked about this in the entire time that we've had this podcast, that officiating is actually a release for me. It's good for my mental health. It gets me around guys, you know, that I like to spend time with. It keeps me connected to a sport that I do love. So I don't have this burning desire to fly to Thailand, you know, next month or, you know, anything like that. No, that's not what I'm doing it for. And so, you know, so it was interesting, though, that was like right away. No, you need us. If you want to be an official that gets here, you can't do it without us.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. Here's the reality of it, and I've gotten pretty comfortable saying this, and I'm very comfortable where I'm at with letting it be known. Everybody's end goal is the Olympics. Last time I checked, and I'll have to double check to make sure I'm right, they're only taking 6 men's teams and 6 women's teams to start this, to run the trial run for the Olympics to see if this is even worthwhile. Of that, to my knowledge, IFAF is going to be the organization that is the governing body over the entire tournament, which makes perfect sense. IFAF has their set of officials that they've been using now across the globe. You know, we have a bunch of officials in the United States who are saying, I want to be there. I want to be a part of this. You know, I want to do that. That's all well and good, and it's really cool to have aspirations and goals. The reality is they're going to take, I would say, at most 4 U.S. officials. 4 would be my magic number, and I don't think it's even going to be number or be 4. I would say probably 3. You could almost guarantee who they are right now, based on who's been involved and who's currently in the positions that they're in. But I would say the reality is you should try to be the best official you can be. No matter if you're reffing the 4 amateur game or the 5 non-contact pro game on CBS, you should referee those games the exact same way. You should strive to have your mechanics correct. You should strive to have your rules knowledge down and your applications to those rules in the games, you know, be correct. You should strive to, you know, just do the little things right. Because at the end of the day, people notice, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on a, like I said, a 4 amateur field or 8 contact game, you know, any format or style you're officiating, you should try to be the best you could be, not so that way you can advance to something that's probably not realistic, but advance to something that is achievable and will grow yourself. So,
absolutely. And yeah, I mean, we can continue to look at 2028, and yes, that is a really big deal. You said it right. We got to remember this is a trial run. There, it could be like breakdancing and go one and done.
I really you know, hope it doesn't.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, an international play is very unique. You know, posting videos of international plays and saying, okay, what's the call in this situation? And it's so funny because there are the vocal American players that live and die flag football. They play in their local league 6 days a week. And every, you know, they will continue to say over and over and over again, this is football. There's no penalty there, this or that. They are not going to ever be able to be successful in international play if they don't understand that the smallest contact is going to draw a flag. I know that there will be, you know, there are adjustments being made and things like that, that is rule committee, but ultimately the way that Olympics in general functions is they want it to be a clean sport. Basketball has not gotten, you know, more physical as the years have gone by. They have restricted it more.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, there might be a little bit wiggle room, but ultimately they want this to be a finesse game. They do not want it to be a physical game. The American teams are already blowing out Croatia and, teams from all over the world. They don't want it to become this brute strength thing where then, okay, yeah, then the United States is really going to blow these teams out. They want to give the opportunity to teams like Mexico, Canada, that they have been playing IFAF for years and years and years, and they have no problem keeping it that way. So,
but you know what's not going to be restricted when it comes down to the nitty gritty? Tacky Bar. So let's check out our guy Tacky Bar. If you need your ball prep before any game time, our guy Kevin McDonald over at Tacky Bar can get you squared away. He sends stuff in the mail. He has it at the field at any tournament near you. Check out my guy with Tacky Bar. Like that little plug?
That was great. That was amazing.
But no, you're right. To your point, you're right. The goal is going to be to make the game as open and as available and as competitive for everybody across the board, not just for Americans to dominate, because that doesn't look good on a world stage. They want to be able to say that other countries, and it's a very diverse group that is successful. Not saying that the Americans won't, because I 100% think they will. We all know where my stance is. It's going to be pretty wide open. If they can help it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that goes into the officials as well, is that at this point, the majority of the official population that, like you said, that have been doing IFAB games, they're not from the United States. Yep. It's a small percentage that have continued to been able to travel. The European officials are so experienced in IFAB. And because of that, they get brought all over the world. Yep. They're the ones that are doing the training. They're the ones that are assessing, you know, doing analytics on everybody's international games. You know, we had Omar on here from Israel. He plays a really big part in IFAF and the officiating and all that. Well, and he's from Israel. He's not American, you know, right. And so I think that's another thing to remember, is that the more really, truly, if you want to go down that path, probably the best opportunity you have is to try to get dual citizenship and go to another,
I think you're starting to see that with some of the players, and I wouldn't be shocked if some of the officials begin doing that as well.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's good to grow the game, but please understand what you're getting into. Don't go to Yugoslavia and try to officiate the IFAF style and be eight contact base. You know, not without any, you know, sort of training with it, or know what you're getting into.
No, definitely. Yeah, and I wonder how, you know, being able to, because I see players, they're doing camps in Asia, they're playing in tournaments. I wonder, you know, is there this, like, are they getting information that, like, hey, if you work in this country, you're going to be able to get a passport here? Or, you know, I don't know.
Citizenship, other places can be easier than it is in the United States. Yeah. Politics aside, it's just that's just the way it is. I always looked at, I was watching one year in the Summer Olympics, the water polo, and they were talking about guys jumping from like the Italian national team to the Croatian national team and to the you know, or all around the EU basically. And, you know, talking about how easy it was. So, you know, people can still get, you know, citizenship other places. And Olympic, from what I understand, you just got to be able to prove like a heritage line. Some way, I forget exactly how it is, but if you can, you know, I think like Ambra was telling us when she was on the show, you know.
She lived in the Netherlands. She lived in Portugal. Yep. But she was born in Italy. So she could have gotten a passport from any one of those countries.
Yep.
And she chose to stick with Italy as the national team that she's played with. So I think it's like you said, it's a lot easier in Europe. All those countries are, you know, crammed into an area. I don't know geography very well, but I feel like Europe is like half of the United States. Is that accurate?
I think that's a little generous, but yeah.
So, something like that, a third of the United States. So that's a lot of countries that, you know, all you got to do is have, yeah, my grandpa was from Albania, so I can get, you know, that kind of
stuff.
As
long as you can prove it, I think that's, I mean, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is you haven't seen, what?
You can go to Albania?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you just said you up, right?
Italy.
You said Albania, not Italy.
I know it was I was using it as a reference. It was an
example. You want to be Albanian, that's fine. All
right. Is there a sport that we've seen this kind of stuff before? Like, I know I'm 40 years old now, but I don't know of a sport in the 40 years that I've been watching the Olympics that has had this much excitement that it, you know, it's coming in. It's a new sport, all this stuff. I mean, so we don't really know. We don't have experience in a lot of these things.
So I think the biggest thing, I think it's really exciting for us because we're active, we're involved, and we're openly involved, right? Yeah. I think outside looking in, probably the way we viewed, like when they said they were bringing baseball back, we all went, yay. You know, not me. I actually was kind of excited about it because I think baseball is a very good world sport. I don't think there was the luster or the excitement for that as, you know, as we thought. You know, people probably inside the baseball circles probably were really hype about it, kind of the same way we are about flag football. Because if anything, you know, I know when I talk to people that are not involved in flag and they, you know, they bring things up or they say comments here and there, one of my first things to go to is, hey, yeah, this is going to be the Olympics in 2028. And all of a sudden the eyebrows raise and they go, oh. You know, probably the same thing that happened with breakdancing. They probably said the same thing, and then that Australian lady came out and killed it completely. Single-handedly. Imagine being that person. Like, you ended an Olympic sport single-handedly.
No, they said they were already going to cancel it. They said it was just for funsies.
Yeah, but she was the nail in the coffin.
For sure.
And you know what else was the nail in the coffin? Tacky bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you gotten through your whole bucket of smack and seeds yet?
Nah, dude, I'm still working through it. I still got the big bucket right here. Good old smacking. As you can see, I'm probably about a quarter of the way through.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm working on it. You think this will get on the plane tomorrow or Friday? I don't think it will. But I can tell them I'll sit on it. Pause.
Are you... You're flying out tomorrow? You're going to be there now.
Friday.
Okay.
What day is today?
Fair enough. Today is Wednesday. Yeah.
It is Wednesday, so I'm not flying out today or tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm flying out.
All right, cool.
Friday night.
So I do value your opinion. So I want to hear No, the gorilla versus 100 men.
It's the gorilla all day, bro. This is simple.
I mean, finally we can agree on something.
In that case, no. All right, let's be real. The thickness of a gorilla's skin, the strength of a gorilla, all that thing's got to do is get pissed off. It's got four hands. Two of them are feet.
Yeah. I mean, I love reading the comments, you know, people say. Now, I saw one person say, well, if you could just make them blind, then you've taken – how are you going to get this close to a gorilla and have the time to gouge their eyes out?
I just want you to there's a possibility you could probably stick a finger in their eye, saying that. There's an absolute chance you could blind it. If you blind that thing, you're going to put it into a new level of fury.
Yeah.
It's not going to know where it's at. It's going to be disoriented. It's going to have a new level of, it's not going to realize its own strength even more so than it already doesn't. It's not a good thing for anybody. The only thing that could make it work for 100 men would be strategy. And you would have to convince 100 guys to get on board with the exact same plan. Nobody divert off. Nobody try to be the hero. Nobody try to do anything extraordinary. It's just like what happened in Infinity War.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know? You can't have one bozo.
Get emotional. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that was the love of his life, though. You can't blame him for that.
Sucks to suck, bro. Stick to the plan.
Yeah.
We all love stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sorry.
I understand it was a real tough moment for him, and it was probably very raw.
Yeah.
But you're saving the world.
Yeah.
Stick to the plan and win.
Why was it possible for Gamora to come back, but Black Widow could not?
The time stone was turned prior to Black Widow dying, right?
Yeah,
it was turned prior to. So if you would have turned it back again, you would have brought Thanos back again. You would have changed the timeline twice.
I know, but the time stone is back where it was before. And so why can't you go back to where the time stone, where Captain America put the time stone?
Because if you saved her, you changed the result of everything that happened.
Oh, okay. All right.
When the path veers, you can't change it again and expect it to stay the same course.
Oh, because the Gamora that came back.
Did you watch any time travel movies as a kid?
And all of those are wrong. Didn't you hear the conversation between the Hulk and Ant-Man? He said all of those are wrong.
Right, but the premise was still the same. If time continues to move, but you branch off further and you create more realities when things happen.
That's why Loki was so good, though, because they did like dive deeper into all of that.
Okay.
You didn't like Loki?
No, I didn't like season two. It was dumb.
Well, fair enough. Hey, man, I'm excited because you and me going to hang out this weekend.
Saturday. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for
that? Yeah, that'd be cool.
If I'm about to have. You're going to be so monumental.
You're the crew chief.
I'm just kidding. No, who's the crew chief? Hey, man. Put me at 7 and just let me ride.
Okay. You could ask Black Football referee how much he enjoyed that, because you know we don't push pull, bro.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't push pull, man. I can't do it, bro. I can't.
Not with that attitude. You can do it. About game 18 will be push pull, and I promise you.
Because
there's going to be somebody propped up on one side of us to keep us moving. And nah, whatever you need. Good time. Appreciate Ed for letting us come out and work. You know, we're just it's nice to finally, you know, just I'm sure I'm gonna have questions and whatnot. You know, that's cool. But it's nice to be able just to go out there, referee, do our thing. You know, be there, be a part of it, and you know, just to get away for a couple of days. You know, it's gonna be a quick trip. Fly up Friday night, fly home Sunday morning. And I know you got the Mini Cooper loaded down. What?
Did he rent you a golf cart?
Who, Ed?
I know you're gonna. Yeah, for you. You
know. Why would he rent me a golf cart?
I don't know. Are you able to function without one?
Oh. All right, guys, check it out. So we got merch. Deadline is today to get it in. You know, Ant did a pretty good job for the most part coming up with our stuff. We won't talk about some of his designs. We'll just leave that to the lack of orders to tell that story. Nah. Check our stuff out. It's very reasonably priced. It's great to officiate in. It's great to just wear in general. Check us that out. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share on YouTube. We're all over the place. We're on MySpace, Your Space, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I think Ant's got a Tinder set up for us. Probably not. But no, you can check us out anywhere that you get your podcast. Apple Grindr. Music, Spotify. Whoa! I mean, equal opportunity. Whatever. But you can check us out anywhere. Listen to the show. Watch the show. We prefer that you watch it. You get to see our reactions. Watch us be bobbleheads and just, you know, instead of say yes, we nod. We're going to get some bobbleheads made. I think that's going to be the next thing. But check us out. Make sure you like, subscribe. Shout out to Tacky Bar. I said it a couple times in the show. Kev's a great sponsor for us. We're working with Smack and Sunflower Seeds to get them as a sponsor. Everything finalized with them, so shout out to them as well. Shout out to everybody who listens and, you know, doesn't just use us for clickbait or, you know, listen to just the clips on Instagram, but listens to the whole show. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And shout out to our guest for tonight, you know, Dean with the doozy. We were all over the place, man. We had Dean from the Cayman Islands. We had Jose from Philly, South Philly in the house. Yeah. And then we rounded out with Tim, the tool man, Taylor from LA. Yeah. What?
Long story.
Okay. All right. Anyway. Yeah. But, hey, man, that's what we do here. Yeah. We try to bring people from all over the place. We're not centralized to just little North Carolina or, well, we talk about a contact and, you know, this and that. And, you know, just.
Why did
you
just sound like my dad?
We don't wear shoes, and we, you know, we just that kind of thing, you know, where it's just like centralized. We are all over. We're global. We are the, you know, there's a reason why we are the number one flag football podcast in the world.
That's right. Don't forget it. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, like Jacob said, he said it all. He said it great. The only thing I'm going to add. I forgot. No, you're good. I don't know what it was. There was something I was gonna add and I forgot. But yeah, merch deadline for this order so that you can get it for San Antonio. It's tonight. Oh, that's what I was gonna add. We're not here to front. We don't front products so that you can pay us in 6 months. We don't do that kind of thing. So if you don't pay for the merchandise, you're not getting the merchandise. Okay. So that being said, Jacob, I'll see you Friday night at the airport.
Sounds good, man. Can't wait.
Yes, sir. Oh, what's going on here?